Okay, let's move on to the next verse. The previous one he was talking about death. He continues now. Yeah. So think, therefore, upon seeing and hearing of others' deaths. I am no different. Death will soon come. It is certain, in no doubt, but no certainty as to when. I must say farewell to my body, wealth, and friends, but good and bad deeds will follow like shadows. And then he goes into I'll read the next verse too, because it's all one thought. From bad will come the long and unbearable pain of the three lower realms. From good, the higher, happier realms, from which to swiftly enter the echelons of awakening. Know this and think about it day after day. Okay, so let's go back to the first verse. Therefore, upon seeing and hearing of others' death, think, I am no different, death will soon come. Its certainty is no doubt, but no certainty as to when. Okay, so we talked before about how the certainty of death is there, how everybody must die, and how we have no idea when. We always feel it's going to be later, you know, but even people who are dying today think that today they're not going to die. You know, even you're terminally ill in the hospital, you always think it's not going to be today, it's going to be tomorrow, or the next day, or in a week. Yeah, people don't think, oh, it's going to happen today, and by this evening, I won't be here. Yeah, I mean, our ignorance is so thick that, you know, we we can't see that possibility. And even when we're well and healthy, you know, we don't think, well, by this evening, I won't be here, you know? Because again, strokes, brain aneurysms, heart attacks, you know, all these kinds of things, car accidents, they happen to other people, you know, until they happen to us. Yeah, so there's no certainty that none of those things will happen to us, because that's exactly the way the other people they happened to felt before they happened to them. Yeah. So we really don't know. And the beginning sentence, you know, when upon seeing and hearing others' deaths. Here at the Abbey, that happens a lot because people contact us when somebody is very ill or when someone has died. Either they want counseling or they, you know, after somebody dies, they want us to make prayers and offerings and so on their loved one's behalf. So we hear a lot of stories about how people died. You know, young people, old people, middle people. It's quite amazing, you know. So sometimes, you know, we hear about elder people and we just go, oh, well, they're in their 80s or their 90s. So that's kind of natural, you know. You know, that's okay. I mean, from the point of view of the person who died, no, it wasn't okay. You know, they still want to be alive. Yeah. So, you know, but in our mind we say, well, you know, that makes sense. Until we think of somebody who we care about who's that age. And then, oh, 80, 90, that's too young to die. You know, you need to be older to die. So strange, isn't it? Do you remember when you were younger? I remember so explicitly being in my early 20s and thinking like 40 was just like ancient. You know? And only people like my parents turned 60. I mean, 60 is really old. You're almost dead at 60. You know? Until you turn 60. And then, suddenly, 60 is young. Yeah. And you won't even say, 70 is old anymore, because you know 70 is coming soon. So then you put it out 20 years instead of 10 years. 80 is old. But, you know, 80 is going to be there soon, because you turn 60. Okay, 20 more years to 80. But 20 years ago, you were 40. So it's not like you were a kid 20 years ago. Yeah. So it's, you know, from 40 to 60 went real fast. From 60 to 80 is going to go real fast, too. Yeah. They tell the story of one disciple who said to his master, you know, please give me a warning about my own death so I can prepare. So the master said, yeah, sure, I'll do that. So then, you know, as time is going by, you know, the master gets requests to do prayers for various people who have died. And so he tells his disciple about each of those deaths and, you know, please make prayers for these persons. And then at some time, the disciple gets very ill and, you know, it becomes clear that he's terminal, he's going to die. And he says to the master, I thought you were going to give me some warning about when I'm going to die. And the master said, what do you think I was doing all those years, telling you about all the other people who were dying? Yeah, it's warning of our own death. Okay, and so here at the Abbey, we hear, you know, amazing stories of how people die totally unexpectedly. You know, it's like the last thing. There was one family that contacted us, and their son, he was 16 years old. He had just told, Mom had just asked him what he wanted for dinner because she was going to a takeout, you know? And then somehow, we don't know how or what he died from, but by the time Mom got home with the meal, the kid was dead. You know, can you imagine how the parents felt like that, yeah? So many, many stories like this. Two young women of one of your friends were in Nepal during the earthquake. Yeah, they were never heard of again, even though their brothers went there and tried to find them. Yeah. So, you know, we should, whenever we're asked to make prayers for somebody who died, we should really take it to heart that, you know, this is, you know, I might die in the same manner too. But also, at some time or another, people are going to be, you know, writing emails saying, please, you know, make prayers for me, you know, using our name, you know, please, Thupten Chodron just died, make prayers for her. And somebody else will go, oh yeah, sure, put her on the prayer list. And then in the evening sometime, somebody will read out all the names. Well, we're dedicating this person, Thupten Chodron, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's how meaningful it's going to be to other people. Yeah, but it's sure going to be meaningful to us, isn't it? Yeah. I've had just recently in the last few months, two nuns who have been my Dharma sisters since 1975 have died. Yeah, and both of them, you know, were practicing all those years, and yet it's you know. No guarantee of long life or good death or anything. One of them, she must have been in her mid-late 70s, because she was older than me. But she suffered from Parkinson's for many years, and she was actually in a nursing home for the last few years. So I think she just kind of, one morning, they couldn't arouse her, and that was it. But for many years, you know, being in the nursing home. I don't know if Dharma people were there when she was alive. I don't know how aware she would have been if they were. Yeah. The other one, just started at Chenrezig Institute, and she and I, again, we were friends since 75, and she had cancer for a number of years and was steadily going downhill. She wound up living longer than people expected, and she was in an incredibly good mental state, but death came to her too, you know, one day there, next day gone. Yeah. You know, so when you start watching your contemporaries die, and it's not of accidents, fluky things, but it's of illnesses that, you know, accrue to us as we get old, then it becomes more vivid that, you know, our own death is approaching. And there's no way to avoid it. So then, you know, our time becomes our most precious possession, you know, because other things come and go. But our time, you know, our time, what are we going to do with our time? Because we don't have, it's not an unlimited supply of time. It's a limited supply of time. We don't know when it's going to run out. And it's only with our time that we can create virtue and purify non-virtue and learn the Dharma and contribute to the welfare of others. You know, body possessions, all this other stuff, it comes and goes. It's really not very important. But our time becomes very important, you know, and what we choose to, how we choose to spend our time and the motivations that we want to have when we're doing certain activities, you know, becomes much more important. So even if we're doing, you know, activities that we need to do to take care of the Abbey or, you know, just errands or whatever, it becomes more important to us that that we need to generate good motivations for doing that and not just operate on automatic, you know, but really continuously cultivate bodhicitta motivation and dedicate. Yeah, there were two lawyers who used to come to Cloud Mountain, and I think both of them were still working when they died. One, she had been, some friends were over in the evening. I think her son was also over. And they were, you know, just talking, having a good time, I don't know, watching a movie or playing some games. And she went to sleep, everything was fine, she didn't wake up in the morning. And her son went in and his mom was dead. Totally unexpected, you know. The other one got ALS, you know, and had kind of a long, very debilitating time until she died, yeah. But both were, you know, I mean, professional women, very intelligent, you know, really wanted to put the Dharma into practice and make a difference. But all of that doesn't stop death from coming. Yeah. It can help you prepare for death, but it can't stop the death. And one of them, you know, the one who didn't wake up in the morning, her friends kind of knew she was interested in Buddhism, but she didn't really speak about it very much. And so she died suddenly. They didn't call me for another week. You know, if they had called me right away, it would have been so much more beneficial for her. Yeah. But she kept her practice very quiet. You know, they knew her prayer book was on her bedstand, and as they went through papers, then they discovered things, you know. But I really wish that they had been able to tell me right away. Yeah. Then we also hear, you know, of people who commit suicide, you know, which is such a, you know, a waste of human potential. One person who was quite wealthy, very wealthy actually, left most of his estate to charity, but killed himself. Yeah. Another person who was a who was young. He was a I don't know if he was in Iraq or Afghanistan, but he came back. You know, had a substance abuse problem, which, you know, completely alienated his family, and wound up jumping off a bridge in Spokane. You know, young person. So, I mean, these are like incredible tragedies, because, you know, you have a human life, and you have the ability to learn the Dharma, but they never had the karma to actually meet the Dharma. And instead, their intelligence got warped by the experiences that they had, and, you know, wound up thinking that death would alleviate their pain when it doesn't. So.